I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 24, and we are fast coming to the conclusion of our series in the book of Joshua, but how fitting today that we find ourselves here in Joshua chapter 24 on this special day as we remember in Memorial Day those who have given themselves, given their lives for our freedoms. Joshua chapter 24 will be to our text here in just a moment in verse number 14 and verse number 15. Before we get started, though, we want to look to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask Him to meet with us. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that You would be pleased to allow us to sense Your presence this morning. We know that You've given us the promise that wherever two or three are gathered in Your name, You are there in their midst. And so we have the confidence this morning that taking You at Your word, that You have met with us today. And we just ask that the Holy Spirit of God would have His will in this service this morning. We pray that distractions would be minimized and, Father, that our hearts would be drawn together around the Word of God and challenged according to the Scripture, which we're going to read here in just a few moments. And, Father, would You just allow us this morning to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ and to see something of eternal significance take place this morning. And we ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In Joshua chapter 24, Joshua is now an old man. He is nearly 110 years old. He has sensed that the time of his departure from this earth is about to come. And he is preparing now the nation of Israel for his departure, for the vacuum of leadership will be left. And he's helping them to understand that some things need to be decided upon and some things need to be hammered out ahead of time before the Lord takes him home. You can almost see Joshua, the veteran of many battles, as he is sitting and talking with the tribes of Israel that he had called together in verse number 1 with the leaders, as he is sharing with them his remembrances of the past. And as he is challenging them about the future, and especially we see in Joshua 24, there's a real burden on Joshua's heart, and that is that the coming generation needs to make the same decisions that he has made for himself and for his family. He addresses that in verse 14 and verse 15. And let me say to you that freedom does not endure unless succeeding generations make the same choices to sacrifice and to put God first and to follow after the principles of liberty that are found in the Word of God. And that we are experiencing that right now in our country. There's a great controversy over the principles of liberty which God reveals in His Word. And the outcome of that will determine what happens in our country. And certainly a lot is at stake. But now Joshua is looking at some people who have recently become the inheritors of the land, the promised land which God had given to them. They had come into the land and they had found houses that were already built and ready to live in. They had found fields that had already been sowed and ready to come and harvest. They had found storehouses that were full of grain and all that God had provided for them. In fact, it's a completely unique situation in that the nation of Israel, as a nomadic people without a home, had come into the promised land, had engaged the enemy in battle, and had been victorious and had overtaken that land. Joshua now is dealing with them from the standpoint of what happens in the future and how do we continue seeing God continue to work. Now this morning as we listen to Joshua's challenge, I believe there's an application for us because we are the generation that is living today. We're not the nation of Israel, but certainly we need to enter into the promises of God as a people. We need to see God be victorious in our lives. And so there's some things which Joshua reveals here in his final words of challenge. Note with me in verse number 14, Joshua says these words, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Some of you probably have that verse hanging in your homes, and I hope that that is the motto of your family. The people in verse 16 answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for He is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for He is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that He hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve Him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. It's interesting to me that Joshua, the great general, the statesman, the leader of the nation of Israel, in his final words to the people of Israel, does not choose to deal with issues concerning the giving of law. He does not choose to deal with issues concerning the defense of the country. There are many things which he chooses not to speak about on this occasion, but he does give priority to one important choice which he wants the people to weigh out and consider in their own life. That choice which is before us. And this morning I want to preach to you about the choice that is set before us as a people. This morning, if you are without Christ, there is a choice that is set before you. This morning, if you are a child of God, there is a choice which is set before you. And this morning we want to dwell on the choice which Joshua mentions in verse 14 and in verse 15. Notice several things with me this morning about the choice which Joshua speaks of. First of all, it is a personal choice. A personal choice. He says there in verse number 15, choose you this day whom ye will serve. In other words, that word you is individual. It is specific. He is almost, if you could see it this way, Joshua is casting his eyes around the group, and he is looking into the eyes of some of these people, and he's saying, you need to make a choice. You say, why would these men need to make a choice? Well, quite frankly, because Joshua up to this time had exerted tremendously strong leadership. God had given him a special place. The nation had followed after Joshua, but Joshua knew that the nation was in crisis, in that once he passed off the scene, what was going to happen to these people? What would be the choice that they would make? And so he was preparing them. But he says there is a personal choice which much must be made in this case concerning who you will serve, concerning who you will fear, and concerning who you will love. Did you see there in verse number 14? He said regarding these people that they needed to make a choice, a personal choice, to fear the Lord. To fear the Lord. There are many people, I'm sad to say, today who are good Americans, who are citizens of our country, but have long ago lost the fear of God. And that is a sad condition in which we find our country. It's something that we as Christians need to challenge people about, because without the fear of God, our country is headed for absolute disaster. He says to the children of Israel, he says, you need to fear God. You need to allow yourself to understand that you must revere and stand in awe of the holy God who has made you what you are. By the way, the reason that the children of Israel were where they were at was because of the mighty hand of God. Joshua had already recognized that. He said, if it were not for God, you would be nothing, nation of Israel. If it were not for God's influence, if it were not for God's power, the nation of Israel would not even exist. And he called their attention to that fact. I'm sad to say today that many people have misunderstood, have even misdescribed what it means to fear the Lord. They say, well, you know, the Bible doesn't really mean that you need to fear Him. It just means that you need to have respect for Him. Well, I believe that you ought to have respect for God. That's a good thing. But I believe when the Bible uses the word fear, it means fear. It means a holy reverence of standing in awe of the great and tremendous power of God. Turn in your Bibles back to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. It's a little warm up here. I'm not sure if that's the air conditioner's fault or mine. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 29. Notice here in the second giving of the law, back when Moses was still the leader of the nation, Moses expressed here the desire of God towards the children of Israel. And he says in verse 29, "Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with your children forever." Some people misunderstand the fear of God. They say, "Oh, God just wants us to be afraid of him. He wants us to go around shaking at the thought of him." Well, no, that's not necessarily the intention of God, but rather the idea is that it would be well with you. You see, there's things that we ought to fear. There's things that we ought to respect. There's things that we ought to give the proper distance, the proper space. And God's law is one of those things. Today, people will flaunt the law of God. They will mock at the law of God and they'll say, "I can live however I want." Listen to me, friend. You live however you want and it will be to your own detriment. It will be to your own destruction. When God gives us some instruction in His Word, it is for our benefit and for our good. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse number 10, you're probably familiar with, says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." You know, we've got a lot of educated people in the world today that are just dummies. And I don't mean that in a sarcastic way. I mean because the basis of their knowledge is they reject the existence of God. And if you reject the existence of God, you are doomed to foolishness. You are going to act in ways which are consistent with how you view the world. God says that if you want wisdom, if you want to have understanding, then that is going to start at the fear of the Lord. Can I admonish you this morning that you personally need to make a choice to fear God? I know many people who live their Christian lives, who live as if the standard is the consensus of public opinion. And so they say, as long as everybody is pleased with how I'm acting, as long as everybody is pleased with my behavior, as long as everybody looks at me and approves in a certain way of what I'm doing or doesn't say anything negative, then it must be okay. The problem with that is that in a society that is becoming less and less moral, it becomes more and more permissive to do a number of different things. And people say, "See, we have the approval of society, but you do not have the approval of God." And we ought to be careful that our standard is not what our neighbor or our brother or our sister or our father or mother or husband or wife or children or anyone else thinks, but rather, what does God say in His Word? Joshua said to the children of Israel, "You need to fear the Lord." Then he says there in verse number 14, "Serve Him in sincerity and in truth." You need to not only make a personal choice to fear the Lord, but this morning you need to make a personal choice to serve the Lord with sincerity. Let me pose it to you this way. If God is who He says that He is, and if Jesus has done what the Bible says that He has done, that is, died as a sacrifice for your sins, and if there really is an eternity that you are going to spend in one of two places, either heaven or hell, then does it not make sense to you this morning that if all those things are true, you ought to serve God in sincerity and in truth? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now, I said earlier, I'm proud to be an American. I'm very thankful for my citizenship. I'm very thankful for this country. But my first loyalty is not to the United States of America. My first loyalty should be to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is my primary objective, is to please and honor. So if at any time my country departs from what God says, then my loyalty must be with God's Word and with what God has asked me to do. Joshua said to these people, he said, "You know, it's possible," and I like how, Dean, he used the word sincerity. He said, "Serve the Lord with sincerity," because it is absolutely possible to serve the Lord with hypocrisy. That is, to go through the motions, because after all, that's the acceptable way to live. But it's not a sincere service. It's not from the heart. It's not with a desire towards God or a desire to please God, but rather it's insincere. It's looking for the applause of men. And we ought to be careful that our service for God is with sincerity. By the way, if you serve God with sincerity and with truth, if you fear God, then no matter how the circumstances or the environment changes, your personal standards will never change because God does not change. If God is the objective, if He is the standard, if His Word is what you're after, then you'll find that there will be some stability. And Joshua knew that the children of Israel desperately needed some stability because they needed to put their feet somewhere. You say, I don't know if I agree with what you're saying, Pastor. Then you need to read the book which follows the book of Joshua, the book of Judges, and see what happened when the children of Israel did not do what Joshua advised them to do. And as it were, they put their feet on the shifting sand. And the Bible says in the book of Judges, the whole theme of the book is every man did that which was right in his own eyes. A lot of confusion. People didn't know where to turn for the answers. They didn't know what was right and what was wrong. There was all kinds of calamity in the land, and all because they had lost their foundation, because they did not listen to what Joshua had said. It's a personal choice to fear the Lord. It's a personal choice to serve the Lord with sincerity. But notice he also says it's a personal choice to put away the false gods which are among you. Now, I struggled with this passage. I wasn't sure exactly what it meant. I thought, well, perhaps Joshua is referring to the possibility that there could be false gods among them in the future, because it seems like the children of Israel were really serving the Lord. But then later, down farther in verse number 23, he says, now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. It almost seems to me, as I read the passages of Scripture here, that Joshua knew there were those among the children of Israel who were still worshiping false gods. And he is challenging them. He is saying, you are going to have to make a personal choice. Now, you understand, in the economy, under the legal system of the nation of Israel, that was not allowed out in the open. That would have been something that was very secretive. And isn't that how the false gods are in our lives? Those things, I mean, we know that we ought not to be worshiping our career. We ought not to be worshiping our children's sports habits. We ought not to be worshiping our hobbies. We ought not to be worshiping our pleasure or our entertainment, but they're hidden in our heart. And we get after those things. And Joshua says to the children of Israel, he says, you're going to have to make a personal choice to put away the gods. Your fathers have served some gods. He said, there's some false gods in the history of the nation of Israel. Put them away. Get rid of those things and serve God with sincerity and with truth. It is a personal choice which must be made. I say to you this morning that you might be a part of a Christian family. That's not good enough. I say to you, well, you're part of a Christian nation, and that's not good enough. You say, well, I'm a member of a church, and that's not good enough. You might say, well, I hang out with a lot of people who are genuine Christians, and that's not good enough, because this is a personal choice on your part of what you will do with the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll look at that in more detail in just a few moments. Joshua said, first of all, it was a personal choice. Second of all, it is a pressing choice. A pressing choice. Did you notice the wording that Joshua used in verse 15? He says, choose you. What are the next two words? This day. This day. Joshua said, the decision is going to be made right now. Decide what you're going to do, nation of Israel. Leaders, elders of the nation of Israel, decide what you are going to do. Are you going to fear God, serve Him with sincerity? Are you going to put away the false gods? Today, decide about this thing. I say to you today that there is no putting off a decision concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here this morning in our services and you understand that you need to be saved. You have an understanding of your condition before God. You have an understanding of what Jesus Christ has done. And you say, well, I just don't want to make a decision quite yet. I'm not ready to make a decision quite yet. Well, you've actually made a decision. You understand that? When you say, I'll make a decision later, you have made a decision against the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there is a decision. There is a pressing nature of this decision, that in that it must be made now, this day. Hold your place here and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Are you all still with me this morning? 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 2. The Apostle Paul writing and referring back to an Old Testament scripture from, I believe, the book of Isaiah, says this in verse number 2, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee," or "I have given you nourishment, I've taken care of your needs. Behold, now is the accepted time." Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today is the day of choice. If you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ, then my friend, today is the opportunity for you to deal with that matter. If you're here, by the way, last week we had church, did we not? We had church on Sunday morning. Sunday night we talked about some of the false prophecies and the false prophets in our day and age and the predictions about the Lord's coming. I went home and I ate a bite to eat, and I got on the computer and I saw that Joplin, Missouri was hit with a tornado. And it's been in the news all week, hasn't it? They had 24 minutes of warning from the time the sirens went off until they found shelter. There's been hundreds that have, or over 100 now that have been killed, and over 100 that are still missing. Now, this struck at my heart. My grandparents live just about 45 minutes or an hour away from Joplin. I picked up the phone and called them to make sure they were okay and to see how things were going. They were watching the news themselves. But can you imagine, many people went to church, listen to me, many people went to church on Sunday morning in Joplin, Missouri. It's the heart of the Bible Belt. They heard a gospel message. They heard what God had for them to do. They said, "I'll deal with that next week." And some of them went into eternity. I have not a doubt in my mind. You could be here this morning and you say, "I don't know if it's that pressing of a matter. I got decisions to make about college and career. I've got decisions to make about the future. I'm dealing with some things with my family. And this thing about the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't seem like that important of a thing. It seems like God will wait, like God will just allow me to get to it whenever I want." I say to you this morning, don't tempt God. Now, today is the day. And as I've already said, not making a decision is just the same as making a decision. You have made a decision against the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll demonstrate that to you right now. If you would, please turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 11. Luke, chapter 11. In essence, what Joshua was saying to the children of Israel was, there is no middle ground. There is no place where you say, "Well, we kind of like the God of Israel, God Jehovah, and we kind of like the false gods, and we're kind of waiting to see who offers the better deal, who sweetens the pot the best." That's a dangerous place to be. There is no middle ground. Luke 11, verse 23, the Lord Jesus said this himself, "He that is not with me is," what's the next word? "Against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth." Now, I'm going to ask you a very simple question. Is it the desire of your heart this morning to be against the Lord Jesus Christ? I hope not. That's a very dangerous place to be. Now, the Bible is clear in the book of Revelation that there is definitely a consensus of opinion in our world which is against the Lord Jesus Christ. There are even now many antichrists. That word means against Christ. There are many antichrists gone out into the world. There will be one day the time when the kingdoms of the world will set themselves against the Lord Jesus Christ as he returns. And that is going to be a very traumatic time. That is going to be a very destructive time for those people, not for the Lord Jesus Christ, because you cannot stand against the rock which the builders have rejected. It is absolutely impossible. Jesus said, if you're not with me, and if you can say this morning, "Well, I'm not sure if I'm with the Lord Jesus Christ, but I'm not sure if I'm against him either." Well, if you're not with him, then you're against him. And it's just that simple. Look in Luke chapter 16 with me. Luke chapter 16 and verse number 13. Luke 16 and verse number 13 says, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." You know, the simple truth is you can't be a spiritual double spy. It's impossible. You're pulling both ends against the middle. And if you're not with him 100%, then you are against him. I mentioned about that terrible tornado that hit Joplin on Sunday night of last week. And I heard through some friends that are out in that area. There's a little independent Baptist church there in town that was right in the path of that twister, was completely wiped out. Most of the church members were in the basement of the church, and everybody was safe, thankfully, but many of them lost their homes, lost the possessions that they had. But now think with me this morning, if you're a Christian, and we've applied that to some unsaved people, but if you're a Christian here this morning and you say, well, I'm just not out and out for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I've got a lot of things that I'm dealing with, and I've got a lot of pressures, and I've got to give priority to this area and that area. Maybe in your life, it's your job. Maybe it's a health situation. Maybe in your life, it's something to do with some current events or some other area of your life that is just really drawing your attention away from the things of the Lord. And you say, well, I understand that God needs to be the priority, but see, these things are so important right now, and I'll get to that one day. What if you don't get to it? What if you don't have the opportunity to get to it? What if today is the last opportunity? See, the choice is the same. It's a pressing choice. It must be made today. You are either for the Lord Jesus Christ. You are either out and out for Him, or you are against Him. Joshua was dealing with the people back in Joshua 24, and just flip your pages back there to Joshua 24, and he said, choose you this day whom ye will serve. You're going to have to make a choice, children of Israel. It is a personal choice. It is a pressing choice. Third of all, I want you to see that it is a powerful choice. Now, I want you to understand something with me this morning. You are a special creation in the eyes of Almighty God. God has made you completely unique. Don't let any scientist tell you any differently. You are completely different from the animals that exist in this world. The difference is that you have a soul that is responsible to Almighty God. God has given you the ability to decide. Now, an animal makes decisions according to instinct or according to some type of built-in ability that they have, but it's very limited. Nothing like a human being. God has given you, and He gave Adam and Eve, the first human beings on this world, He gave them the unique capacity to decide for themselves whether they would or would not obey Almighty God. Can you allow the soberness of that thought to sink in on your mind for a moment? He gave them the ability to decide what they would do with the command of God. Now, the animals did not have that luxury. The animals did exactly what God told them, but Adam and Eve were given a command, and Adam and Eve chose to disobey God. What was the result of their choosing not to serve the Lord with sincerity, not to fear the commandment of God, and not to put away the false God that was tempting them? Well, the result was destruction upon the human race. I want to say something to you this morning. This choice that is set before you today concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and concerning what you will do with Him is a powerful choice. Literally, this choice that is set before you will determine where you spend all of eternity. Now, you might think that life is long if you're young. If you're older, you've gotten wise to the fact that life is actually very short, that it's fleeting, that it passes by. And the older I get, the more I appreciate that, how quickly life goes by. But in the scope of eternity, this life is not even a blip on the radar screen. But many people are trading eternity for the here and now. Be careful. Be careful, dear friend, what you do with the Lord Jesus Christ. You may say, well, if I take the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, it will be very inconvenient for me. It would rearrange a lot of things in my life. Maybe you're here this morning as a Christian and you say, you know what, I'm saved, but I know that if I really pursued after God's will, it would just not be my ideal of life, and it would just not work out the way that I planned. Can I say to you that there are eternal consequences? If you're without Christ, the eternal consequence is that you will spend all of eternity in the lake of fire without hope of any salvation after you have died. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. You get this chance in this life to make the decision. Your choice in this life affects eternity. You say, well, I'm a Christian. I got that taken care of. I know that I'm all right, and I'm going to go to heaven, and praise the Lord for that, and praise the Lord that you're saved. But there are still some consequences in eternity. I mean, can you imagine what it'll be when you stand before the Lord and he says to you, boy, you've not served me the way that you ought to have. You've not really given priority to the things of God like you should have. And I mean, I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't really want to be going through a review and hanging my head in shame. But many people are exchanging the now for eternity. And they're saying, you know what? I'm willing to sacrifice eternity. I'm willing to sacrifice the rewards which God gives. I'm willing to sacrifice those things so that I can have a little pleasure right now. Joshua said to the children of Israel, he said, you better fear the Lord. You better be willing to serve him in sincerity. You better pay attention to the consequences of your decision. By the way, the consequences of the decision by their choice of what the children of Israel would do with the Lord God of Israel, they would literally determine the course of their nation. Did you notice the wording in verse number 15? He says, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Did you see that? Now those are, some people complain about the these and the thous and the ye's and all that kind of stuff in the King James Bible, and they say, I need a Bible that's more simple. Well, you'll get a Bible that isn't as clear, because that word ye means all of you collectively together. The word you means like you and you and you. And so the address, the personal choice, is given to all of these individuals, but then those individuals collectively and their decision would affect the ye, the nation. What would happen to their children and to their grandchildren and to their great-grandchildren? Your choice is very powerful, what you do with the Lord Jesus Christ. It has an effect not only in your life, but it has an effect in your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren and on down the line as long as the Lord would tarry. Now, Deuteronomy 11, we won't turn there, but in verse 26 and 27 and 28, God had told Moses to instruct the people about a blessing and a curse. And this was a physical, land-based blessing. God was going to be good to the nation of Israel depending on how they behaved themselves. He says there, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known. And Joshua is referring to this exact choice from Deuteronomy chapter 11, and he would have been a witness of that day, the second giving of the law, as well as many of the men who were gathered there with him would have been witnesses of that day. And he's saying, there's a decision which needs to be made. What is the nation of Israel going to do? What are you as individuals going to do? What is the direction of this nation going to be? And it's powerful, because it's going to take you to a destiny. There are consequences that will result from the choices that you make. If there's anything, if there's one lesson that I could teach teenagers, if I could just get one lesson and only one through their head, I might try to just stress that one lesson. When you make a choice, there are consequences. Do you understand that? You make a choice, there are consequences. And that has application in every area of life. Oftentimes in our world, we say, well, I want to make a choice, but I don't want any consequences. But your consequences, see, you get to decide your choice, but you don't get to decide the consequences. God is the one who decides the consequences. Be careful. Be careful about the choices that you make. Now, when we think about this, we say, oh, you know, I've already blown it. Deuteronomy 11. I've already broken God's law. I'm already hopeless. I'm already a rebel against God, and I haven't done what I was supposed to do. I guess it's all cashed in now, right? Oh, no. See, this is the good news. Galatians 3:13 says about the Lord Jesus Christ that he became a curse for us. When he hung on the cross of Calvary, he took the curse of Deuteronomy chapter 11 in your place. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh, the Creator of the world, came into this world, lived a perfect, sinless, and holy life. At the end of His ministry, He was unjustly accused. He was put on a cross of punishment, a place for criminals. And there, as a good man, as a man who had perfectly kept the law of God, who had been the greatest man who had and who has ever lived, and there He hung on the cross, and the Lord Jesus Christ in that place became a curse for you and for me. He took upon Himself your sins and my sins. He took upon Himself the transgressions of the law, the times when you've told a lie, and the times, gentlemen, when you've looked at a woman with lust in your heart, and the times when you have been covetous, and the times when you have blasphemed the name of God, and the times when you have committed murder in your heart against some other individual, and the times when you have stolen, and the times when you've been a rebel against God's law. The Lord Jesus Christ took that upon Himself on the cross, and there on the cross, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, He atoned for our sins. He literally took the punishment that you deserve for your sin, and He took it upon Himself. The rejection of God the Father. You say, why in the world did He do that? So that you could make a choice. And the choice is this. Jesus Christ became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. You might be here this morning and you say, you know what? I recognize that my life has not been all that it ought to be. Can I say to you this morning that because of Jesus Christ, there is forgiveness from the hand of God that is available to you. But the choice is, what will you do with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? You see, the response that most people have is, well, I'll try harder, work more, do more things. I'll try to clean up my act. And that's a hopeless proposition. You will never, in your own strength, be able to please God or atone for your sins. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ who can provide forgiveness of sins and a home in heaven. This morning, if you are without the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've never been born again, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verses 9 and 10 that you need to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean to repeat His name as if it's some kind of a mantra or to pray some magic words that somebody wrote on a page for you. That's not it at all. But rather it is to cry out to Him, trusting that He is capable of rescuing you from the certain destruction that you have because of your sin. Confidence in the fact that His sacrifice is sufficient for you. Cry out to Him for help. You say, I don't know the words to say. Then just say, help. Because He understands what's in your heart. You say, you mean I don't have to pray the exact right words? No, you don't have to. There's a lot of people who prayed the right exact words and didn't mean it from their heart and didn't get it. They didn't get saved. And if you come to Him and you cry out to Him with sincerity, believing that Jesus Christ has provided the sacrifice for your sin and knowing that you are not able to save yourself, then you can be confident of the fact that He will save you. Now, we said it's a powerful choice. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Some of you, most of you who are here this morning have made that choice in your life. And you can say, oh yeah, I remember when I called on the Lord. I remember when His grace was evident in my life. And oh, what a change. What a difference. What a powerful choice that was in my life. Joshua was speaking to the children of Israel, and he said, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now notice what Joshua really said there in verse 15. Sometimes we misread this passage. He did not say, choose between the Lord and these gods. He said, if you won't choose the Lord, if you're not willing to choose the Lord, if it seem evil unto you to choose the Lord, then go ahead and choose between the gods of your fathers on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in the land that you dwell in. Go ahead and choose between any of those false gods. But listen, neither one of those are a good choice. And there's some of you who are here this morning. You say, well, you know, I can't really accept the Lord Jesus Christ, but I've chosen religion. And that's a good choice. That's a good thing to go after because it'll make me a better person. Well, it might make you a better neighbor, a nicer person to get along with. And sometimes it does, and sometimes it makes you worse. But religion's not going to be it. Religion's not the choice. You say, well, I can't take the Lord Jesus Christ, but I'll choose some good works. And I'll be a really upright person, and I'm not interested in religion, but I'm going to be a very moral person, and that's not a good choice either. And some people say, well, I don't want the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to go after it, man. I'm going to have fun with my life. I'm going to really enjoy it, and that's not a real good choice either. And you go right down the line, all these choices over here add up to nothing. If you choose the Lord, that's a choice that means something. Joshua said to the children of Israel, he said, listen, your destiny is in your hands. What's going to happen to the nation of Israel in a few years is placed right before you right now, and you are making a decision. You are making a choice. Can I say to you this morning, your destiny is in your hands. You say, boy, that sounds like you're limiting the sovereignty of God. Oh, no, I'm not. That exalts the sovereignty of God. When God, sovereign creator, the creator of this world, the omnipotent God, allows you the ability to make a decision, allows you the ability to choose your will concerning His sacrifice in your place, that's Almighty God. Our God is so gracious to us, He gives us the opportunity to decide. And my question for you is, what are you going to do with the Lord Jesus Christ? If you've heard the gospel today, maybe you've been hearing the gospel and you know there's a response that is required of you. What are you going to do with Jesus Christ today? There's a pressing choice to be made. It could be that you're here this morning. You say, well, I've already made that decision, Pastor. I'm thankful for it. Then can I ask you today, have you made the choice to love and fear and serve that God who you've given yourself to with sincerity? Have you given yourself complete? Are you following His agenda and His plan? Are you choosing today to serve the Lord with sincerity and in truth? You see, Joshua could have said a lot of things to the nation of Israel. He could have instructed them about the intricacies of governing the nation. He could have explained to them about how they would be most strategically set for defending the nation from invading armies. He could have talked about education. He could have talked about any number of things. But the thing that was burning on the heart of Joshua as a great man of God was, there's a choice before you. He knew that if the people of Israel would choose to serve the Lord with sincerity and truth, if they would choose to fear God, if they would choose to put away the false gods, all the rest would fall in line. And he hammered on that number one priority. On this Memorial Day weekend, I want to challenge you to remember the sacrifice of a Savior who lived and died for us. I'm very thankful for soldiers who have given their lives defending our freedoms. But there is one, the greatest sacrifice of all, the greatest memorial that has ever been remembered, and that is the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ in our place. This Memorial Day weekend, would you remember what Jesus Christ has done for you? And would you choose today to serve the Lord in sincerity and truth? Because the other options aren't all that good. Let's all stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. The musicians are going to come. They're going to play that song, Just As I Am, without one plea. Could be that God has spoken to your heart this morning, and we'll have a time here of invitation. That is this place down here where these steps are at the altar. You can come down here and talk to God. If you need some help from the Scriptures, you just come here and wave at me or something. I'll get somebody to sit down with a Bible and answer your questions. You say, I don't really understand what you've talked about today. I'm not clear on what Jesus Christ has done. I'm not clear on how I've broken God's law. Well, we want you to be clear on those things. And if you'll come this morning, we would love to have somebody sit down with an open Bible and answer your questions from the Word of God. But this morning, I just want to ask you to choose. I want to ask you to do what God has asked you to do in the message this morning. Father, would you have your will and your way in this time of invitation now? May Christ be lifted up and glorified. And we ask and pray these things in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.